You know, there was a pastor at a church, and he took him before he started service open, and he said, if there's all the members here, I want to announce that at the closing of the service, we're going to have a church board meeting. He said, so if all the church board members will meet in the back of the church, at the close of service, we're going to have a meeting. And then he went on, he preached his message, and it was a long message. When he got done with his message, he noticed everybody had already congregated at the back of the church, and he said, he went back there and he looked, he said, well, there's a strange face. And he said, friend, he said, you're new here today, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, you understand that this meeting back here is just a church board meeting, don't you? He said, yes, sir. He said, but after that message you just preached, I reckon I'm just as bored as any other church member here. So I'm hoping that's not going to be the case today. Before we get started, my wife, Holly, I asked her, now I sprung this on her last night. I said, look, I said, I've got something I want to share. I said, but you share something. And the way that she shares it, she's done it before, man, it's beautiful. And I said, the way that you do it is awesome. I said, I want them to hear that. And so I'm going to cut part of mine off so that she can do part of hers, and she's going to start the service. So, Holly, Miss Wilson, I'll never call her that.
Well, the Lord tells us to be in season and out of season, right?
Amen.
Well, have you ever had to put it into practice?
Yes.
Because that's what happened to me last night. I was getting ready to crawl in bed when he walked into the doorway, and he's like, do you think you could share part of that message that you did the other week tomorrow morning? So here I am. But I believe there's something that the Lord has for us today. And so I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for your word. And you promised that your word would not return void. So I pray that you will give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18.
Put this on. We'll get that in the back. Try that.
How's that? Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And this was Jesus talking in Revelation. And I'm also going to share it in the Passion Translation. And it says, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look. I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the unseen world. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took back the keys from hell. He's gotten everything that the devil had taken away, he now has a hold of. The devil doesn't have it anymore. And you guys may not know, but my dad actually pastors at the Cherry Church of God in Crestwell, and when he was preaching the other week, he was talking about a story, and I started to receive some revelation on a subject. And as Christians, we have been given the keys to the kingdom because Jesus took those keys back. And I want to explain just a minute the vision of the kingdom that I saw. So if you've ever seen a movie or something with a giant castle, and there's gates and secret doorways and passageways that you can go through. There's all kinds of locked entrances that you can go in and out of. And that's kind of what I pictured when I saw kingdom. And so as I was thinking about it, I began to meditate on that word, that we have the keys to the kingdom. Jesus has taken the keys to the kingdom. And as I began to meditate, I thought about, have you ever had a favorite dessert or pie, cake, whatever it is, something that you just love. And as you're eating it, we got some people here that like desserts. As you're eating it, you just slowly savor each bite so you can enjoy it, make it last a little bit longer. Well, that's kind of how I pictured meditating. Because God had given me a word, and I wanted to savor it. I wanted to take time and enjoy every last drop of what he has for me. Because God has so much for us that he doesn't want us to miss. He has so much for us. So back to what he was talking about, the story that he gave. Well, that was actually two parts. He said that God had given him a word years ago. And when God spoke, or the Holy Spirit spoke this word to him, I was actually a little girl. I was very young. And God said to him that a locked door is no obstacle to someone who has the key. A locked door is no obstacle to someone who has the key. And I kept meditating on that. And he actually told a story about a man. And this man was a pastor's son. And the dad, the pastor, died. And the son filled in at the church. But after his dad died, the church started to kind of fall apart. They started losing people. And he got into such a depressive state that he found himself standing on the side of a bridge contemplating jumping off. Now that is pretty extreme, but I'm sure we've all encountered things in life when stuff gets difficult to where we have encounters that we deal with and it gets overwhelming sometimes and we don't know how we're going to get through it. And that was him. And his dad had given him a key to the pastor's office. And he thought that, you know, why didn't he give me a key to the church or other places? This is the one he gave me. And he had asked his dad, and his dad told him, he's like, that's the only one you ever need. Well, in his mind, he thought, well, when he thinks I'm ready, he'll give me something else. That was his thinking process on it. But he would call the church leaders or whoever it was that he needed to come unlock the door whenever he needed to get inside, and then he would go to the pastor's office. Well, come to find out, this night that he was standing on the bridge, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said, I've got to get to the church right now. And he called the guy. He's like, I need you to meet me at the church. I need to get in the church. And the man, he's like, okay, but I'm at the college campus, so it's going to take me about an hour to get there, and I'll come unlock it for you. Well, he was frustrated at this point, and he was beating on the door and trying to pick the lock, and he was doing all kinds of things to try to get inside because he couldn't get in. And finally, out of sheer frustration, he's like, you know what? I'm going to try this key. Maybe if I just jam it in here hard enough, I can get it to turn or do something. Well, he noticed when he entered that key into the lock that it clicked and it opened up. Well, come to find out, he had had the master key the whole entire time, and he didn't even know it. And too often that happens with us as Christians because we've been given things that we don't even know belong to us. And so oftentimes we don't operate in the things that have been given to us because we don't fully understand them. We don't understand that they belong to us. But when my dad said that word about a locked door is not an obstacle for someone who has a key, it spoke to me. Because that word, even though he had gotten it 30 plus years ago, my spirit grabbed a hold of it because it went right along with what the Lord had been speaking to me. And the Lord is going to speak things into your life at times that he wants you to get a hold of. And you see, even though that was a long time ago, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is always true. His word will never change. So if it was relevant back in Jesus' time, and it was relevant 30 years ago, it's still relevant today. It has the same power that it had back then. It has not changed. And do you want to know why the devil attacks your mind so much? because I'm sure we have all dealt with that. It's because he wants to keep you doubting yourself, because he knows that if and when you figure out your identity in Christ and how to use what has been given to you, that there will be no stopping you. The devil wants to keep you from that. He doesn't want you to get a hold of the revelation of God's word in your life. And I heard something the other day that really resonated with me. It said, well, before I say this, have you ever had thoughts that come to your mind, or it seems like when something's bad is happening, that's all that you can think about? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Well, what I heard was, if you want to stop an intrusive thought, speak the truth the moment that it begins. You can choose to dwell on the problem, or you can choose to speak what God says about the situation instead. The choice is yours. But that's how you stop that thought process. Because if you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile. And he will run rampant over your life in a heartbeat if you let him. But God's word is truth. And faith is that key that unlocks the door. We were talking about this door earlier. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. And we'll go a little bit deeper into that in just a minute. But I want to paint a picture for you. Because I want you to see the revelation that I received for yourself. Because it's imperative that it becomes personal to you. God's word has to become personal to each and every one of us if we want it to have an effect on our life. So when we accept Christ into our hearts, there's an exchange that takes place. There's an exchange that takes place. You see, we're trading spiritual death for spiritual life. And remember what I read in Revelations? God said, I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. Now, where does God live? In heaven. That's right. That's not too hard to figure out. Guess what? Jesus lives there too. That's his home. Now, I know he lives inside of our hearts, but heaven is his home. So I want you to imagine with me for just a minute that when you get saved, the minute that you get saved, picture Jesus walking up to you and he says, hey, Ronnie, welcome to the family. You know what? Here's a key to my house. Let me show you around. Because when you accept Christ in your heart, God gives you a key to his kingdom. When you accept Christ, God gives you a key to his kingdom. And everything that belongs to Jesus, you now have access to. Everything that belongs to Jesus, you now have access to. So picture yourself holding that key. Curtis is passing out a key. For the couples that are here, I don't have quite enough, so we're giving you one to share. But Jesus gives you a key to his kingdom. Now, don't just take my word or somebody else's on subjects like this. You got to judge everything that somebody says according to the word. If you're not sure about something, get in the Bible and see what God says about it.
Amen.
And if God says something about it, that is the truth. And that should be what our mind goes to every single time. It should not change because of our circumstances. It should not change because of our thoughts or the people that we're around. God's word is true all the time. And that's what we have to base our believing upon. So, if you want to turn to Romans 12:3. This is the verse that's talking about a measure of faith. Because God has given us each a measure of faith. And it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm also going to read that in the Passion Translation that says, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. You see, God wants us to see our identity through Christ. God wants you to see yourself just as He sees you. He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. Because when we discover our identity, we begin to walk in purpose. Because you're not wondering who you are anymore. You know who you are in Christ. And you know the authority you have. And you know how to have that operating in your life. And that measure of faith that is given to us is the same faith as Jesus has.
Yes.
You see, He's giving us what He has, and it's the same for every believer. He doesn't pick and choose who He gives it to. When you accept Christ in your heart, you are given a measure of faith at that exact moment. It is yours. Nobody can take that away from you. It belongs to you. And when He gives you that measure of faith, He gives you the key. He's telling you, everything that I have belongs to you now too. And we've got to realize that, because so many times we get caught up and we think that we're not going to be able to have things until we get to heaven one day. But that's not what the Word tells us.
Amen.
He's given us a key so we can accomplish things here on this earth. You see, you have the keys to healing, to financial blessing and security, a sound mind, and everything that God's Word says you can have. God didn't put it in His Word for just basic reading material. He put it in His Word so we could get a revelation from it. He wants us to live it out in our lives. And Matthew 6, 9 and 10, it tells us, when Jesus was telling us how to pray, He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." I'm also going to read that verse, those verses in the Passion Translation as well. And it says, pray like this: Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it was fulfilled in heaven. So if you had any questions before, that scripture right there tells you that He wants you to have the same things on earth that you can have in heaven.
Yes.
You see, God wants us to use the measure of faith that we have been given as Christians to unlock the things of heaven so that they will manifest in our lives here on earth. He doesn't want you sick and broke and busted. Because how are you going to be an example to somebody else if you can't even get your own life together? He wants you to live successfully. He doesn't want you to live in defeat. God has great things for us. And Jesus didn't die on the cross for Jesus. He died on the cross for you. He was already perfect. He already had all these things. He didn't need to do anything to get a hold of them. He died on the cross so that we could get a hold of Him. So that we could live in victory in our life. And He took the keys so that we can have that victory. That's why He died and went to hell and took those keys back. So that He could give them to us to use in our life. Luke 17, 5 and 6. It says, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, if you look at the key that Curtis passed out to you guys, you'll notice on the very top of it, there's a mustard seed. There's a mustard seed. Rub your finger over it. You can feel it. It's a little tiny. Not very big, is it? What did that verse say? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, That is a grain of mustard seed. It's not very much. I think so many times we get caught up and we have to have this big, huge faith to be able to accomplish anything in our life. But he said all it takes is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And you see, it doesn't take that much faith to operate in the things of God, because Jesus has already given you the key. He's already given you the key. And just like that story that I was telling you of the man with the master key, that is the only key that you will ever need. Faith is the only key that you will ever need to accomplish the things that God has for you. He's not going to give you more faith. I think sometimes we pray for that. God, just give me more faith, more faith, more faith. But just as he told the apostles, he's not going to give you more faith. We just have to learn how to develop it. We have to learn how to develop it. And when I thought about that, I thought about how you develop pictures on the old films. Have you ever seen that done or done it yourself? And they hold the corner of the paper and they dip it in this solution and then they kind of shake it off and they dip it in the next solution and they hang them up to dry. And it looks like when you pull it up to start with that the picture looks black. And then it kind of develops into an image. Well, faith will turn the dark places of your life from hope into reality. It will make those pictures real to you if you will learn how to activate it in your life. Because the more we develop our faith, the clearer the picture becomes. The more we develop our faith, the clearer the picture becomes. And as I was praying and meditating on this word, I asked God, I said, why are so many Christians struggling and bound by the things of this world? Why are so many Christians struggling and bound by the things of this world? And I heard just as clearly during my prayer time. And he said, they haven't activated their key. They haven't activated their key. And instantly, I pictured a hotel. You know how you have a hotel key card? Well, those key cards, if programmed, can be used at any door at all. They can open any door, but they will only work at the ones that they're actually activated for. They only work at the ones they're activated for. And you see, my key works for me, and your key works for you. And we've each been given the same key, but it's up to us individually to activate it for ourselves. And just like in the hotel, there are some general areas. You know, you go in like the elevator, and anybody that has a key that's checked into that hotel can access the elevator. And that's where my faith can be used to lift somebody up. We can use our faith to help lift somebody else up. But there are certain things that only our key will access. Because my key won't open the door to your room, and your key won't open the door to my room. There are things that we have to access for ourselves if we want to go into that room. And maybe you're asking yourself, how in the world do I do that? Or maybe you're thinking, I've tried it and it just don't work for me. I'll tell you a little secret. True faith never lets go of what God said. True faith never lets go of what God said. It doesn't matter if it happens in 10 minutes. It doesn't matter if it takes 10 years. True faith never lets go of what God said. So if God said it in his word, it belongs to you. You can have it. If you have the faith and you can activate it to believe for whatever it is, it's yours. You see, we activate our faith by hearing what God says, by believing what God says, and by speaking what God says. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to learn how to develop your faith, You're going to have to get into the Word of God. It's going to take that in your life. You're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to read it. And you're going to have to speak it out so that you can have those things. And the revelation that I received on that subject was this. It said, if you know that you know, that you already have the keys to open any door that you face, and you know how to use them, whether it's sickness, insecurities, poverty and lack, mind problems, fear, etc., it doesn't matter what you come up against or what comes against you, you already have the key for it. And if you know that you have the key to get into a door, you're no longer intimidated by circumstances or obstacles that you face, because all that is required for you to get through it is to unlock the door or to activate your faith and to walk through it and into the promises of God. You don't have to wonder or worry how or when it's going to happen, because you know the God who gave you the key. And it has already been taken care of. He has already taken care of it. And you're holding the key to heaven and everything that you need to access what he has for you. Now, I hope you guys aren't like he was talking about this bored church congregation, because we got just a little bit more for you and we're going to transition. And Curtis is going to fill in on how to activate your faith and to make it work in your life so you can accomplish the things that God has for you with the key that he's given you.
No church board meetings after service, right? Look, before we get started with it, I felt impressed in my spirit. We just need to do some worship. So let's take a minute. Let's just fill this house with praise in the Lord. Let's just say Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, we praise you, God. We're here for you, and we're taking time for you today. You are what it's all about. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. You are worthy of our praise. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you place this morning. You are our God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for giving us the keys to the kingdom. We thank you, God, for your word that gives us strength. We praise you. We exalt you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you.
Holly did a beautiful job with that. She taught that the other morning or the other evening, and I was like, man, that is awesome, the way that she brought it out. In Matthew 16 and 19, it says, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And so he's given us the keys of the kingdom. And the way that we access the keys of the kingdom is by faith. It's by our activating it. And we act, those keys are faith. And the way that we activate those keys is by what we say. If you turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And she kind of went over a similar verse to this. Did any of y'all realize how small a mustard seed was? Man, that's small, isn't it? It's small. Matthew 17 and 20. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So he's saying, if you have faith, this is the first thing Jesus is telling them about. Because they're struggling with their faith. And so Jesus is telling here, the first thing Jesus says about faith is, he says, if you have faith, this is what you're going to do with it. You will say. So if you have faith, you will say. So this is how we activate. There's other ways we can activate our faith. But he says, this is a way that you're going to activate the faith. This is the way that you're going to activate the keys of the kingdom, is you're going to activate it by what you speak, what you say. And actually preached a sermon the other day, and I saw some more revelation. I wasn't planning on sharing this necessarily, but have any of y'all been practicing joy? You remember the last time I was here? Ha, 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 hallelujah. And we're laughing and we're joying and we're laughing at the devil, laughing at our problems, because we got, with joy, we pull up from the wells of salvation. We draw water from the wells of salvation. And I wound up looking, I said, man, I said, that is an activation of my faith key right here. Because when I begin to rejoice in God, I'm rejoicing in God and realizing, say, God, you've already done this for me. You've already blessed me. You've already done this for me. I just need to realize I got it. And I just begin to rejoice, and I begin to joy, revisit the joy of things that he's done for me in my life, revisit the joy of what his word says about me. And I said, man, I said, I've got it. It's not, a lot of times we think, like Holly said, it's, well, my faith just isn't that big, you know. But it don't matter. That's small right there. Can you even see it from the back? Even the woman with the glasses on, she might not can see it. She got them better eyes, don't she? But it's small, and it don't take much. But it does take activation. We've got to use it. We can have faith and not use it. And what happens, I think a lot of times is, I've done, I did something here. I don't know what I did. There we go. A lot of times what happens is, I think we say, well, man said, I tried it. I tried that faith thing and it didn't work for me. And sometimes we just don't stand there long enough. We don't stand in faith long enough. We got to have perseverance. And one of the things I was talking to somebody the other day, and we just had a good conversation and we're sharing. And I said, you know, there's perseverance. There's perseverance. You got to stand on what you believe, and you got to trust God. And I'm not going to water down what the word says to fit what I experienced. If there's a failure on some part, it's not God's part, it's my part. So there's some way I wasn't activating that key right. I didn't have it programmed right for me. There was some failure on my part, it wasn't on God's part. And a lot of times what happens, and that's why new doctrines and new churches is formed sometimes, because people will say, well, this doesn't work like this because it didn't work like that in my life. And so we say, well, that must not be the right interpretation. This may not be this is not for today. And there's some people, and I know this is a church of God, spirit-filled church of God. And so people say, I asked for tongues and I never spoke in tongues. So another denomination might get started over here. They said, well, that's not for me, because it didn't match the experience in my life. But what we got to do is we got to raise up to where our experiences match the Bible. And Mark Hankins, he said it like this. He said, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never move your mountain. Now, that's good. I'm going to read it again, say it again. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, then it's never going to be strong enough to move your mountain. Now, we talked about the keys of the kingdom. Now, where is this kingdom at? Where is this kingdom at? Because surely I can't ascend all the way to heaven and go exercise up there. And there is heaven up there in the kingdom. But in Luke 12 and 32, I'm going to read two verses to you real quick. In Luke 12 and 32 and Luke 17 and 21. Luke 12 and 32, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Jesus is telling us, he said, the Father wants to give you the kingdom. Luke 17 and 21, it says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So where's the kingdom of God at? God's placed the kingdom of God inside of us, inside of us. It's ours. He desires us to have it. When we become born again, he put the kingdom of God inside of us, and we access it by faith. I looked at the wells of salvation, and that we draw them out. Where are we drawing them out of? We're drawing them out of that kingdom that God has already placed inside of us. 2 Peter 1 and 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it says God has already given us all things. How many is all? All is all. All is not some. All is not one or two or three. All is all. He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we've gotten everything. When Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. What did he mean? Well, I did part of my work, but part of it, they're going to have to pray and ask for me to do some more. Now, he said, it's finished. He said, we're playing checkers, and he made his move. And he said, all right, it's your move. He said, crown me. He said, it's your move now. And a lot of times what happens is we sit there and we say, well, I'm just waiting on God to do something. I'm just waiting on God whenever he wants to do it. And God's saying, look, he said, I want you to receive. But you got to realize I've already made my move. It's your move now. It's not my move. You're waiting around and you're wasting time because you ought to be activating those keys that I give you. I give you the keys to the kingdom. I put everything that everything that pertains to life and godliness, I put it inside of the kingdom. And the kingdom I gave to you, I put it inside of you. And I gave you the keys. The keys is faith. And you got to activate that faith by speaking it out. So you draw it out. You speak it out and you rejoice in me. And then you'll be able to pull out of that kingdom what God has already given us. Holly and I were sitting in the living room the other night, or was at the den. I get them confused. They got so many different rooms, and you got to have this one's called a living room. This one's a den. I think the den was what we was in, but we spend most of our time in there, so we probably ought to change the name to that being the living room, and the front room being the den. But maybe I get it because the bear goes into the den because that's where he lives, right? That's where he sleeps. The bedroom should be called a den. But we were watching TV, or I might have been playing on my phone, and she was watching TV. And we got two cats, and the cat was down there in the floor. And that cat would look over, and its tail would move. And it's like, oh, what was that? It's like, that cat said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that thing. And it chased after that cat, after that tail. And then it ripped, stopped a little bit, and it'd be paying, looking around. All of a sudden, its tail would move. I don't think it realized that that was his tail. He's like, man, what is that that just moved? And he took it, he's chasing that tail. It's like a dog. You ever seen a dog out in the yard, and that dog's just having a ball? He's running around in a circle, and he's constantly trying to bite his tail, trying to catch that tail. Y'all ever seen that? It's like, don't you realize that tail is yours? You chasing that tail, it's attached to you. You already got it. Ain't no need to catch it because you already got it. And that's what God wants us to see. He said, you've already got all these things you're chasing. All these things you're begging and pleading me for. You've already got it. I placed it inside of you. I placed it inside the kingdom of God that is inside of you. You've got to access it by opening your mouth. You've got to access it by saying, hey, look, it's mine. Lord, I know it's mine. I see it in your word that it's mine. And I'm choosing to trust you and what your word says above what my circumstance says, above what anything else I see. I said, Lord, I thank you. That's mine. I call it mine. Now, our faith is not going to bankrupt heaven. Our faith is not going to bankrupt God. Our faith, all these promises, all these blessings, is God's grace. It's God's grace. And by faith are you, by grace are you saved by faith. So I said that wrong. By faith, you're saved by grace. So it's God's gift to us. His grace is his gift to us. And faith is how we access that grace. When we got born again, what did we say? The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. So that's how we get born again. That's how we exercise our keys. We exercise the key that God had given us. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we exercise that key when we got born again. And we said, Lord, I believe what your word says. You died. Was buried. 3 days later, you rose. You're Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. I'm exercising my faith key by speaking what I believe in my heart. I think it was Paul said, he said, we have in the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore have we spoken. So that's the whole spirit of faith. That's the whole spirit of activating those keys is believing and speaking. But we're not going to bankrupt heaven because our faith can only get to us what God's grace has already provided to us. Ephesians 1 and 18. Paul wrote a prayer in the beginning of Ephesians and wrote a letter. Or he wrote a letter in the beginning and in the end he was writing a prayer. He also wrote a prayer in Ephesians 3. And out of all the things that he could pray, you know, if you asked me to write a prayer out, or I asked one of y'all to write a prayer out, you know, and this prayer would not just be for a church, but it will be for churches and churches and churches and churches, generations gone by. I mean, how many years has it been since Paul was on the earth? Somewhere around 2000 maybe. And so, what would your prayer be? Lord, if they've got needs, I pray for healing for them. I pray that they will, you will just bless them, that you will anoint them, that you will just give them whatever that they need, that you be a constant comfort for them. But what Paul prayed is he said, look, let me read that verse. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, Paul said, I want the eyes of your understanding to be flooded with light. I want you to just see everything that God has already given to you as your inheritance. Because Paul realized, he said, I don't need to pray for you to be blessed. I don't need to pray for you to be prosperous. I don't need to pray for you to be healed. I don't need to pray for you to be anointed because God's already done it for you. What I need to pray is that your eyes will be open, that you would be able to see what God has already done on the inside. Because when you see what God has already done on the inside, you'll realize that you got the victory. And a lot of times we pray when we pray and we pray out of this place of, we pray out of pain. And I've done it. We pray out of pain. We pray out of defeat. And what God's saying, he's saying, look, he said, I want you to realize I've already done it for you. You've already got it. So instead of you praying out of this place of despair, begging me to do something for you, realize that you've already got the victory. I've already given you everything that you need in this life. I've already given you everything that you'll ever need. All I need you to do is realize that you're not defeated. You're not defeated. You're not in despair. You need to realize that I've already done it for you. And when you begin to realize that I've already done it, then you can begin to access that kingdom that's on the inside. You can begin to receive what I've already done for you. But first of all, we've got to acknowledge it. We've got to acknowledge it. I was telling Holly some of the scripture I was going to use. And I said, Philemon 1:6. She said, Philemon. She said, Philemon. 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 I said, I do that a lot. I do that a lot. I was reading it the other day. And I was like, Philemon. I said to myself, that ain't right. How do y'all say it? Philemon. How do you say it? Philemon. I'm from the South. Philemon. It says, Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word effectual, let me read it again. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word effectual means to begin to work or to be operational. So here he said, in order for your faith to be operational, in order for your faith to become effectual, in order for your faith to work, you need to be able to acknowledge every good thing that God has done in you. So if I want to be able to use my faith to pray for another one, or to pray for my own needs, or to access the kingdom and call it into my life and pull it up from the well, then I need to be able to realize what God has already given me. It's like, I've heard it, that faith is only present where the will of God is known. So if I don't know God's will on a situation, how can I have faith that God's going to do what I'm praying about? I've got to know his will. So he's already healed me. Because the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Now, am I experiencing every bit of that in my life right now? No, I'm not. But I got to stand in faith. I got to keep standing, because who's wrong? Is God wrong? Did he lie? Now, it'd be one thing if somebody else told me that, but somebody else didn't tell me that. That's what the Bible says. Like, am I going to say, God, I don't care what you said. Like, this isn't what I'm experiencing. He said, no. He said, what did I say? You're telling me it didn't work, which means you quit staying in faith. You stay in faith. You stay in faith. You stay strong and persevere, and what I said will be. But we've got to realize what God has already done. We've got to acknowledge what he's done. And we can't acknowledge something that's not there, that doesn't exist. So God's promises, faith-filled decrees that we make, it's all got to be activated by our voice, by our words. And we're not beggars. Like, we don't have to beg God for stuff, because God's already given it to us. So we're not begging. We know what's ours. If I was to give you this microphone, and then you kept on asking me for it and kept on asking me for it and kept on. I said, well, look, I already gave it to you. Just use the one that I give you. But, and that's how we are so many times, is God's like, I've already done this for you. And was like, God, please do this. Please do this. He said, I've already done it. Just use what I've already given you. But we don't. We're coming up and we're starting to see. We're starting to see. And we got to stay in agreement with what God says. I wanted to go one more verse. Well, actually two more verses. That ain't too late. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ephesians 1:14. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest. Another word for earnest is the pledge. He's the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a deposit in us. It's sort of like maybe it's for a rent or something like that. You put down a security deposit and you say, hey, look, this is, or you're buying a house and you put down this security deposit and say, hey, look, this is my initial down payment. I'm coming back and I'm going to give you more money because I'm going to get that house. And the Holy Spirit, when God, he said, look, he said, I got more for you. What I accomplished in Jesus through the cross, he's like, I got more for you. So I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit right here. And this is going to be for you. But this is the first installment of what's to come. With us having the Holy Spirit, oh, that's great. He said, but there's more coming. There's more coming, because blessings is coming your way. all of this is going to be accessed through the power that works in us. If I was to take, for an example, and say, you know what, Rick, your inheritance, so-and-so, your great-great-uncle down the way, he died, and sorry about your loss, and he said, your inheritance is $10 million. Now, that sounded a little bit too good to be true there. It's like, yeah, right. Are you sure? It's like, okay. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you hadn't received this $10 million yet. And then all of a sudden, $500,000 shows up in your bank account. And then you get a letter saying, look, this is the first installment. And you're like, whoa, maybe that inheritance is real. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe that, I don't remember that uncle. How he knows me, I don't know. But man, maybe there's something to this inheritance thing. I already got $500,000. Yeah, I'm believing I'm going to receive more. And that's what it is with, like, the Holy Spirit. God said, look, he said, here, this is the initial deposit. He said, and Holy Spirit is so much more than that. But just for this purpose, to help you to see. And he said, there's more. There's more. Now, the Holy Spirit, he's always, I heard somebody say before, said when they was talking about, it was a different denomination talking about praying in tongues. They said, the Holy Ghost ain't no light switch. You can't just turn him on and turn him off. And the other fellow told me, he said, yeah. He said, he's always on. He's always on. And that's the thing. The Holy Spirit's always transmitting. He's always transmitting. He's always transmitting blessings. He's always transmitting a word for you. He's always transmitting peace. He's always transmitting healing. Whatever you need, he's always putting out a transmission. It's sort of like a radio dial. You know, we was listening to some music on the way here earlier, and that radio station was, there was a radio signal going out, and it's going out, and it's going out. Well, I wound up, when we got here, I wound up changing the radio station to a different radio station. Now, that previous radio station we were listening to did not stop broadcasting. It was still putting out a transmission. I just wasn't received it because I switched frequencies. I changed the dial. And that's how it is a lot of times with the Holy Spirit. He's like, I'm putting out my frequency. I'm putting out my broadcast. And so many times what we do is we switch over to a different frequency. And we say, no, I'm not receiving that right now. And when we do that, that key that we just had, we just drop the key. We just drop the key. Because we're no longer on the same broadcast that he is. We've got to be in agreement with God and what he says. Amen. So when he said, it's already done. It's already done. I wanted to go to one more scripture, and then I'll be closing. It said Mark 5 and 25, and I'm going to read a lengthy part of that. But it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, in verse 27 and 28, it says, when she had heard of Jesus, that word heard, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. what you do after you hear the word of God is going to determine what you receive from God. The first thing you do when you hear the word of God, what you do next is going to determine what you receive from God. The woman, she heard that Jesus was coming. She'd already heard that he was the healer. Man, those people, blind eyes being open, she had already heard a lot. And when she heard Jesus is coming, the next thing she did was she believed. And then she said, she exercised that same spirit of faith. She spoke. The second thing she did is she started taking action. And she started trying to reach for Jesus. Because she had already said, you know, if I can touch him, touch his garments, I'll be made whole. She had already received a miracle in her heart before she felt it in her body. And a lot of times we want to feel something. Like, Lord, let me feel it and then I'll believe it. But God doesn't work that way. He said, you believe it and then you'll feel it. You begin to believe it. Mark Atkins, he said, if you would believe better, you'd feel better. We want the opposite of that. We want to feel better and then we'll believe better. But that's not faith. There'd be no need for me to have faith in it because it'd be evident in me. It'd already be in a reality. But the touch of Jesus will make you feel. She touched Jesus and she felt in her body that she had been made whole. But faith always comes before the feeling. Now, I know that issue that this woman had was a flow of blood. I know that's what this word issue means. But the fact still remains that this woman had an issue. And a lot of times, we've had issues, and we got issues. And no matter what our issue is, if we'll take the same steps that this woman here took, she found out the word is coming. She found out Jesus is coming. She heard the word. She believed it. She spoke it. And she acted on what she spoke. And then she received. And after it was over, she testified about what had happened. But no matter what our issues that we face, if we'll take those same simple steps, it's not, God's got stuff for us, and we make things so complicated sometimes. And God's saying, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. I want you to be able to receive what I've got for you. I want you to be able to get it. He's like, I used this illustration the other day. You ever seen the youngins, and you take it, and you hold up the thing up here, and the youngins constantly trying to jump up and get it. And by the time he gets close, you do this right here and lift it up a little bit higher. Like, you thought you was getting close. And sometimes I think we view God that way. And he's not doing that. He's not holding it up over our head. And by the time we get close and moving it away, he's saying, look, I want you to get what I've got for you. I want you to be able to receive it. And let's be receivers. Are we receivers? Yes. We're receivers. Look, stand and pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. You make things simple for us. You want us to receive everything that you've got for us. You want us to be receivers. You want us to be overcomers and victorious. Father, I ask that you help our eyes to be open, that where we'll see what we've got, what you've already given us in your word. That we will see that we are blessed. We will see that we are already provided for. All our needs are met. We are prosperous. You told us in your word that you would, that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Now, our soul has been prospering this morning, Father. We've been learning about you and your word and what you've got for us. And Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for those provisions that you've already got for us. And as we've seen that we have the keys to the kingdom that is in us, that is inside of us, that we can activate those keys by the words that we speak, by the joy that we have, that the rejoicing that we have. And Father, I ask that you would help this to be real to us, that you bring it back so that we will not just be hearers of the word, but that we'll become doers of the word. That your word will not just go in one ear and out the other ear, but your word will take it and will have an effect in our lives, and we'll be able to produce much fruit as you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.